Let's start off today by reading Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. It's going to be a longer passage, but it's a really good verse for right now. We're talking about back to school and this time of the year, and we're getting over the summer and our vacations and all of that. It says in my Bible here, the heading, focused on the goal. That word focus, that's a good word for right now, focus. Focused on the goal. Philippians 3, verse 12. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. A lot of people turning back. Let's not do that. Let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. So I'm praying that for everybody. Not that we're on the right track. Not now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course. Crazy faith friends, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times, sadly. I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross. But easy street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. Woo, praise God. You are a citizen of heaven. I mean, that will preach right there. Done that message, but that's really good. We're citizens of heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ. I mean, back when I got saved, back in the 80s, there was a lot of talk about Jesus coming in 88 reasons why Jesus was going to come in 88, 89 reasons why he was going to come in 89. You know, and I made decisions based on Jesus coming. Yeah. It was that real to me. I don't know about that today. I don't know if many people even think about it anymore. Waiting on the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. Verse 1 of chapter 4. My dear, dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy. Fill me with such pride. Don't waver. Stay on track. Steady in God. There's a lot about staying on track, staying steady, being focused. These are all things I want you to be thinking about right now. In September, we're going to announce some new strategies for Good News Church to reach our city. And they've been in the works for a long time, and we're just kind of working through some things. And so we'll be sharing those with you then, and we'll have some training that we're going to be doing. But I want you to be ready for that. And I want August to be a time of preparation for you, and you know, if you've gotten off track, to get back on track, and we want to help you do that. What we're talking about doing is nothing out of what we've been doing for 23 years. We're building upon what God has already shown us. But I want everybody to be on the same page. I want everybody to go with us, go together. So if we want to move forward, we're going to need to avoid some things. And the scripture has a lot of things to avoid, but let's look at Colossians 1, verse 21. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you had your backs turned to God. I was there, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy, in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned in to the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. And that's one thing I just want to just talk about today is distractions, diversions. I think there's a lot of people, of course I know the world. I mean, you just look at any kind of media, you travel and go anywhere, you can tell, you know the world is distracted. But unfortunately, many in the body today are distracted. People here today, distracted. And that's not of God. That's from the enemy to distract us. And there's a purpose for that distraction. It's found in Mark 4. Y'all are very familiar with this. Mark 4, verse 18. Talking about the parable of the sower. And he's talking about different types of hearts of people. And we'll just get to this last type here, or before the final one here, but Mark 4, verse 18. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. So he's talking to believers here, people that are hearing the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age, is that word. And the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passion and desire for other things creep in. It creeps in. Just doesn't come through the front door. Knocks on the front door and you let them in. It creeps in. And what that's all for is to choke and suffocate the word. And if the enemy can do that, then the word of God will be fruitless. It won't bear any fruit. And God is all into bearing fruit. Let's just see what it says here. Verse 20. And those sown on good, well-adapted soil. That's you, right? Are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit. Some 30 times as much was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. God wants us to bear fruit. Read John 15, talking about bearing fruit, bearing about fruit that remains. In that chapter, he talks about pruning. I've had a lot of pruning in my life this year. Just cutting different things out that are getting in the way of kingdom business. But you've got to be open to it. It's not just going to happen because you're a believer or because you're his child. You have to be open to it. I don't know if you could pray that prayer, Lord, prune me. I mean, that's the dangerous prayer. Lord, prune me. I've had different trees, and it's hard if you're a gardener, which I'm not going to call myself that, but it's hard to prune something you've been working on because you feel like you're going backwards. But if you prune it, it's actually going to be more fruitful. And so for the believers, God's got pruning. But we have to be open to that. And so maybe August will be a month of some pruning. Of some things that are in our lives that are kind of getting us off track, some distractions. Now, the Old Testament had another word that they used for the things here in Mark 4, lust of the flesh, desire for other things, distractions, those kind of things. They had another word, and it's found in Psalm 106. And it's a big word they use all throughout the Old Testament. Psalm 106, verse 35. They mingled themselves with the idolatrous nations and learned their ways and works and served their idols. That's the Old Testament word, idols. And what an idol does, it says here, it's a snare to them. Interesting, it says that they serve their idols. Now, Susie, we came back from Thailand and in India, and Thailand, we were kind of on a sightseeing trip and went to the top of the tallest mountain in Thailand, and at the top of it they have a big shrine to Buddha. And I don't know, what do you think, Susie? I mean, higher than these speakers. And they have a kneeling bench before there. We saw people kneel down before this statue. People lay on the ground prostrate, worshiping this statue, this idol. And there was a string that goes from the wall to attach to Buddha's finger. And I was like, it was kind of strange. I was, what's that string? Do they hang banners on there? That string is to ward off evil spirits. Well, if a string could take care of the devil, wouldn't that be nice? I think we've got something a little better than that, than a string. But they're worshiping that idol. And so it says here that they were serving idol. And it's interesting, the first three commandments deal about the worship of God and idols and all of that. And why Moses is getting the Ten Commandments up on the mountain, the people are down there taking all the gold that they plundered from the Egyptians, and they're making an idol. He actually takes the commandments and, you know, destroys the idol with it, you know. And serve their idols. That's what the enemy wants. Because we're made by God to worship something. And it's to worship Him. But that worship can get distracted. That worship can go to other things besides God. And there is a detriment to us if that happens. And of course, you can see the ramifications in the Old Testament. But it's the same thing for us today. Now, we may not have a Buddha or some, you know, the Hindus, they have millions of gods. You may not have some kind of statue in your house that you're bowing down to, but there's things that we can make in our lives and make them idols, and they become distractions. And because of that, we don't bear the fruit we need to be bearing. And we're in harvest time here. We need to be bearing a lot of fruit for the kingdom. Because first of all, there's not a lot of ministries that even know about bearing fruit. I mean, our mission here is empowering people to give life. Not only people, most people are Christians are about getting life. I get heaven, and I get the benefit package, and I get this, and I get that, and me. We're talking about, yeah, we receive things from God, but it's about giving it out. And I'll tell you, a lot in the church have missed that message. Tim Keller, from his book, Counterfeit Gods, talks about idolatry, and this is what he says. It is anything that's more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. An idol is whatever you look at and say in your heart of hearts, if I have that, then I'll feel my life, I'll feel like my life has meaning. And then I'll know I'll have value. Then I'll feel significant and secure. It's like something out here that's going to give you significance. An idol is anything so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living. That's pretty strong. Now, idolatry happens through a progression. Again, like I said, it creeps in. It doesn't necessarily come in through the front door. First, we give it attention. Then it starts to take a little bit of our affection, our desire. Then it becomes an obsession. And finally, it'll move into an addiction, which is another word for sin. And eventually, you fall completely into idolatry. Now, the word addiction is very interesting because we use that a lot for sin. And I know it's a kind of a safer word. I've got this addiction. But it's derived from the Latin, and it means to be enslaved. Addiction means to be enslaved or to be bound to. That sounds like sin. That sounds like the enemy, to be enslaved. The addiction to something elevates its position to something higher than God. You become enslaved by and bound by this object, the substance, or the feeling, and you're personally submitted to it. So if you're writing that down, attention, affection, obsession, bondage or addiction, idolatry. And so it's to be aware of anything along the way there, where things are at. They may not be totally over into being an idol, but you don't want to be on the track either. And so we're examining our life. We're looking at our lives. Here I am, God, search me. Some people have blind spots. I was just talking to somebody today during service today who deceived. Talk it right today. Just deceived by the enemy. And we got blind spots. And so we need to be open to God. We need to be open to Him. I don't want any blind spots. I don't want anything to be taking root, especially at this time of my life. I'm telling you, major things are happening. Significant things are happening. Talking about strategies to reach the city and working with other folks to reach their areas. We're talking about, you know, millions of lives on the line. If we can execute what He's showing us. Millions of people coming into the kingdom and disciples being made. And we got to be ready for that. We got to be prepared. We got to want that. And the enemy is going to not just sit there and say, okay, well, that's great, good news. Let's just let them do whatever they want, you know. And one of the things he'll try to do is cause division within. And I'm seeing some little things of a division here. I mean, just the thing that happened here today, but I mean, other things. And yeah, it's maybe not at full blown, like I'm going to leave and start my own church and take half the people with you. But I'm telling you, it's seeds. And seeds that get watered grow up for a harvest. And I'm not going to, I mean, well, of course, I'm the pastor, but I'm not going to be spending my life sowing seeds of discord, seeds of division. I'm not going to do that. I want to be sowing seeds of life, helping people, blessing people. All right, let's talk about a few idols. There's a big, long list, but I'll just name a few and just maybe kind of open up your eyes how it can be something in your life. Technology can be an idol. Who are all the techno people? Raise your hand. Now, no doubt technology can be used for good. Susie was talking to the pastors of Good News Katak this week, doing some training. How awesome is that? We had to fly 32 hours to get there. She can just talk to them on her computer and do training and be a blessing. That's good, right? But many folks today, they have to have the latest and greatest smartphone, MacBook, LED TV, like somehow this is going to make their life better. I mean, do you ever get this feeling like, is there an app that's going to just like change my life? If I just had the right app. I've got page after page of apps on my iPad. I don't use them. It's a fantasy. When we're on our trip, this is the one of the things that we saw that's so like America. I'm talking about the poorest places in India. The thing we saw, people on their cell phones. Mesmerized. We were at the airport in Taipei at this little place waiting for our plane, and there was four guys from a Middle Eastern country, all four of them. I'm telling you, we were there for an hour. The four of them never looked up from their phones. Each of them had their different devices, iPad, computer, cell phone. Never talked to each other for an hour. And just to play, I mean, Thailand, same thing, everywhere we were. What's going on that phone? You ever sat with someone and they're just getting messages after messages, like at lunch, and they're just like, can't get away from it? Do you ever feel like just taking their phone and just like chunking it? How would that go over? You may not have any more lunches together. Can't leave home without your phone. I can't even go into the other room without my phone. I might miss something. Google, Mr. Google says, Mr. Googly Goo says that the average person on social media spends 2 hours a day. 2 hours, and that means some are spending a lot more than that. Could it be a distraction? I don't know. Get this, one guy believes that by 2045, we're going to be able to upload our brain and our consciousness to a computer. Boy, I'm really looking forward to that. I can keep on preaching all the... Ushers, remove the woman in the front row. And just think, I almost dressed like you today. I had out the same colors. I guess I saw her and I was going to... I said, I'm not wearing the same thing she's wearing today. So I put on this. So there. Who's got the bigger brain? Was I hitting a little bit home there with the technology thing? Going right along with that social media. Who's living for the next notification? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Did you know that when you get a like on Facebook, it has the same reaction as the dopamine released as an addiction to like drugs and alcohol? Now, is there any benefits of social media? I don't know. What do y'all? Is it bringing us closer to God? Can be. Can it be a distraction? Is it a distraction? And people, that's just something to think about. And are we serving it as opposed to it serving us? I think like with anything, I think moderation is the key. But that's hard to be disciplined. Just a certain amount of time. But if I was going to have you overdose on something, maybe it'd be on Bible study. What'd be the average for the typical Christian in Bible study? What'd be the average on prayer? We have a hard time even going to church for an hour and a half a week. Last idol that I'll mention is the idol of money. And that's something that we just saw. I mean, because when you go to different places, you just see how wealthy we are here in the U.S. You don't have any idea. And the marketers make us feel like we have nothing. But the idol of money is the end goal, is the pursuit of money. It's purchasing worldly goods. It's having a big bank account. But family, friends, relationships are sacrificed at the altar of money. The New Testament calls that the worship of mammon. There we go with that word worship again. 1 Timothy 6 says this, verse 9, as Pastor Nate tries to take this verse for his own, but it belongs to everybody. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, but those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving that that some have been led astray and have led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. Again, money is not evil, but the love of it is the roots of all kinds of evil. Money cannot save us. And I think we have that fantasy, like if I win the lottery, it's just a whole set of new problems. Cannot save us. Some of the side effects of pursuing money, neglecting the poor, the kingdom of God, mistreating others, looking to money as the answer to everything, looking for other things to be your contentment. One thing I read a lot about is contentment. I got a lot of books on that, soul care and different things for ministers, and just the whole thing about contentment. Boy, it says godliness with contentment. I think it's the New Living. Godliness with contentment is wealth. Godliness with contentment is wealth. And to be a content, I've got to have, if I have this thing, then I'm going to be good. Then I'm going to be better. Then I'll be arrived. It's just, it's a lie. It's a trap. Paul said, I know how to be abound or abased. To be content. Man, if that's something that we could have. And again, I'm not saying satisfied with the devil ruling in our city. I'm not saying that we're not busy about God's work and what he has for us to do. But stuff, you know, should be able to come and go. She'll be able to come to us and flow through us if necessary. Our contentment comes from God. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. See, we're just trusting in him. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. He's going to take care of you. What are some other idols? I just named a couple of them. What's some other idols? Huh? Romance. Relationships. Career.
Your kids.
Your kids. The job, yeah. Sports. Don't mention that. Celebrities. Entertainment. Huh? Oh, video game. I heard about that. I just read about that. It's bad, brother. Do you know from experience? Fitness, looks. Approval of people. Pornography. Drugs, alcohol, I mean, the list goes on. And you know, let me just say this. If you need help, get help. I mean, AA is one of the most effective, and again, they're not my source, but it's one of the most effective ways to deal with alcohol, addiction, you know, bondage to alcohol. But yet so many people, and easy for me to say, I've not had to do that. But there's help for the various things. Susan and I, we talked about being 2 years in marriage therapy every week. 2 years we went through that. I mean, get help if you need help. I believe it's a community of things. Like for me, when we were dealing with issues in our marriage, I had talked to a medical doctor. We had some help from a therapist. I had my faith community and my personal devotions and my family. It's a community of things. But don't be afraid to get help. There's people out there trained and skilled in helping. But it's like, I guess we're afraid that they're going to get in there and actually do something. Maybe we don't want to let go. I mean, the flesh fights it. But I just want to encourage you. Scriptures in James talks about confessing, and again, I'm not saying confessing your sins to everybody. Confessing your sins to one another, so you shall be healed. The enemy likes to work in darkness. Keep things in darkness, whereas God wants to expose things. I hope some things are being exposed today. Paul has some great advice for us. 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, my beloved, flee. Flee from idolatry. Flee. Run for the hills. I just feel like we're, you know, again, this season, I know it is back to school, and we've had the summer, but I know what we're going into here in the fall, and, Pastor Nate and Kristen, they're stepping out, and what the Lord has for them, we are with that. We're working with the church in Katak. Some amazing things are happening there. We're talking about some different strategies here at Good News Augusta here, and it's a time to be focused. It's a time to be intentional. It's a time to be focused on the Great Commission. Focused on what He said to us. Focused on the vision and the mission. Focused on our assignment. And certainly focused on the Word. Hebrews 12. We'll close with this, or at least this part anyway. We'll see what else the Lord has. Hebrews 12, verse 1, message. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get with it, get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the Word. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on the gospel. Keep your eyes on the good news. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. He's our example. Study how He did it. Because He never lost sight of where He was headed. I don't want you to lose sight of where God's taking you. Don't get distracted right now. Come so far. Don't let anything get you distracted. Stay focused. Pull out some of those prophecies. Pull out some of those things the Lord has said to you. Pull out your journals. Don't get distracted right now. Don't get diverted. Don't get off course. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow Him. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He can put up with anything along the way. We can put up with offense. We can put up with, you know, people lying about us. We can put up with people saying all good things about us. We can put up with people that are whatever. This is not a time to be offended. Offended. Get you off track. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there. Wow. Wow. And now He's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility He plowed through. And that'll shoot adrenaline into your souls. So I'm just encouraging you today, back to school. back to the things of God. Getting focused. If we need to let some things go today, maybe, you know, you need to take some time and pray. Maybe there are some blind spots you don't even, not even aware of them while you're sitting here. Let's be praying for each other and believing. If I've got blind spots, I've got things, I mean, I want them gone. If I've got strongholds or if I've got anything that's distracting me from the vision and the plan of God, I don't want it in my life. I want godliness with contentment. I want to be right in the center of what he's doing right now. I don't want to miss anything. We've come too far. Let's not miss anything. And if we need to have some meetings and talk about things, let's do it. If we, you know, if we need to confide, I mean, maybe I'm not the guy, but I mean, we got some other good folks here. If you need to talk about things with maybe someone out, you know, a lot of time maybe outside the church, but get some help if you need it. And if you need help, you know, come talk to me or one of the leaders here, and we'll point you in the right direction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last week we talked about being free from condemnation. We're free from sin. Fit for the kingdom. But there's got to be an openness, and I love that. But if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Two parts. Willingness. That's dealing with your heart. Obedience is the outward, you know, carrying through on what he's asking you to do, his commands. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Let's stand, everybody. Let's just take a moment and let's just worship him. And if something came to light today, just give it to him today. Just give it to him. Just let go of it and say, Lord, I don't want that in my life anymore. That idol, I'm just casting it. I'm giving it to you. I'm letting go of it today. And I'm no longer going to worship that thing. I'm no longer going to serve it. Maybe something's kind of trying to creep its way in. Just take authority over it right now. We're not going to give it any place. And then let's just worship him. Oh, we praise you, Father. Oh, we praise you, Father. We worship you. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord. And if you want to pray some of those dangerous prayers, how about that one? Lord, prune me. Prune me. Oh, it's hard even saying, Lord, prune me. Not my will be done, but yours be done. Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll go to India. I'll go to Thailand. I'll go to my neighbor. I'll go to Colombia. I'll go. Here I am, send me, Father. Praying for the people, Father. Everybody in the right place. Everybody in the right place, Father. Finding their place. Walking in the fullness of the ministry the Lord has for them. You know, and another thing, this is that I'm just talking to myself here. I kind of know where we're going here. And here, one of the biggest things I have to do, I have to make some adjustments in my time. I'm just going to confess it to you. I got to make some adjustments in my time. And the reason being is I got to make time for people. I got to make time for lost people. I got to make time for more folks in the church and leaders and other. I got to make some more time for people. So I got to make some adjustments. I know that's what I got to do. And he's dealing with me about that, and I'm asking for his help to better use of my time. Thank you, Lord. I ask for your help in that in the name of Jesus. Help me to manage my time better. Make time for the things that are important to you. If I need to let go of some things, Father, show me those things. I'll let them go. They got no place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.